This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPersonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
All right, welcome in. It is Gavin Dawson. Brian brought us here, joining Jared Sandler for some Rangers extra innings. We will have a big edition of the G-Bag Nation coming up here starting at about 4:20 or so. We'll talk about everything evolving in a very interesting afternoon of sports in the NBA with a couple of huge opt-outs. We have Cowboys training camp now coming up in 28 days, but let's talk some baseball here with Jared Sandler. Close games at times, a game with some suspense to it as they were looking for a sweep and getting back to 500, Jared, but just not enough firepower today, huh?
Yeah, I had that chance on the top of the first inning, and you had the base hit from Marcus Semien, the double that moved Corey Seager over after he was hit by a pitch, and then a line out, a little bit of bad luck, but then the Rangers just weren't able to really do a whole lot. And Zach Greinke had them off balance. He really hasn't been great this year, but he kind of looked like, I don't want to say like peak Zach Greinke, but the Zach Greinke that had been really competitive the last few years, maybe save for the, you know, part of last season with Houston. And the Rangers, unfortunately, weren't able to come up with anything late. And, you know, they leave Kansas City taking 2 of 3. You know, that's the goal. It's tough to expect a sweep on the road. And you know, as much as we'd love to think the Rangers are, you know, of that caliber, they're a 500 team right now. So, you know, it probably is not, I guess, two games below 500 to be specific, but they're hovering in that area. So to go on the road, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You take 2 of 3, you take that, you're happy with that. But, you know, I think, you know, had the Rangers been able to get on the board in that top of the first inning, it might just change the whole complexion. It was good to see Dane Dunning pitch well. And now the Rangers are going to have to take on the New York Mets. They get a break after that, or a break tomorrow, the Mets, and then the Orioles kind of continue with the theme of non-playoff teams. But before you get back to that with the Orioles, you got a tough team in the Mets who are coming off their worst month. They had been really good in April and May. They're 34-17 through the end of May, and they've been playing just barely better than 500 ball of late, but still a really good team, a super talented team, and that'll be a tough test.
Jared, are the Rangers who they are? Is that just who they are? I mean, I've talked to you and Gab, we've all talked about this, the inability to like put anything really together, to put together any type of streaks and stuff. And, you know, we were talking with you in the, you know, last week and before some of these games, and it just seems like this is who they are. You know, it's not going to be, this is kind of where we're at, you know, with the way they're playing.
Yeah, I think, you know, this team, it's odd because we definitely didn't expect them to have this record carried by a bullpen and, you know, for the most part, really good starting pitching. I think, you know, if I would have told you, and I know we've had this conversation before, but in spring training, if I tell you, hey, the Rangers are heading into this series with the Mets, two games under 500, you're thinking, all right, yeah, you know, they probably are going to have 2 or 3 guys who are legitimate candidates to be all-stars from the position player bunch. And I guess the pitching kind of held their own, but it's sort of been flipped, right? The lineup has been the group that's maybe had a little more inconsistency. They've had, you know, a tremendous version of Martin Perez all year. John Gray here over the last month has been outstanding. The bullpen, top 10 ERA in Major League Baseball. So I want to say, yeah, I mean, I think they are a 500 team right now, give or take. And I think you see that there is a pretty big gap between teams that are in that department versus the, you know, the top end teams in Major League Baseball. And the Rangers weren't expected to be a top end team. But I just wonder, like, Corey Seager gets hot, what this lineup looks like and what this team can do.
Yeah. Let's get some superstars hot for once.
Well, you know, it's funny because following you on Twitter, you talk about road games and stuff like that. The Rangers starting the season on the road were not very good. And now, you know, a winning record on the road, and you said hitting, you know. Do you still feel that way about this team?
What's that?
That the hitting, I mean, I know the term, but is it something that they can sustain?
Yeah, I look at their lineup, and, I mean, you've got Mitch Garver and Nathaniel Lowe hitting in non, like, high-leverage spots in the order. And Nathaniel Lowe, you know, I don't know that anyone's going to mistake him with Pete Alonso at first base, but you know, he's been a really good hitter, and he hits lefties and righties. And, you know, if they can just get Mitch Garver going, and I know maybe he ends up having surgery to repair the flexor tendon. But, yeah, I think this is a lineup that can be a really good lineup. I look at this lineup, and I think, you know, this is a group of guys who could lead a lineup that's top 10 in baseball in runs per game. You know, I think they really can, but, you know, you need your horses to you know, win the Derby. And Corey Seager and Marcus Semien have had flashes. They've had stretches, but get on their back and let's go. And I don't know that we've seen that yet. And I think it's coming. There are a lot of signs to suggest it's coming. And Corey Seager, if you look at some of the numbers, he's been just about as unlucky from a expected results versus actual results standpoint as anyone in baseball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you don't win games because of expected results. You win games because of the actual results. So, you know, I think that's coming here soon. I believe those two are now not just going to start hitting well because, you know, Marcus Semien's been really good for the last 6 weeks, but the guy hit 45 home runs last year.
Yeah.
Not expecting him to hit 45 this year, but can we get on some sort of a two-week run?
Half that. Yeah, come on. Let's get going. No, I think those are good points, and I agree with Brian, or I agree with the premise of the question that they kind of are what they are because we're at the midway point, but they could be considerably better, I think. Now, how about the Taveras home run? He was on the show yesterday, Jared. Can we finally start getting some traction in that clubhouse about the G-bag blessing that it's bestowing on these guys when they come in for the player show?
You know, it's funny. I swear to you, when the ball was in the air and I'm hearing the potential home run call, I was thinking of you guys.
Yeah, Ted Nugent in your head.
I was like thinking, I'm like, here we go again. Like, mm-hmm. It's happening. I mean, he had the outfield assist earlier and, you know, a couple hits and, you know, now he's not hunting bears. He's just sticking with the birds.
Yeah.
So.
Did it sound like, did you hear it?
Yeah, I know. I listened to it last night on my way home. Thanks to Lucius and Alec for sending that to me because I wasn't able to catch it live. And, you know, it's funny. When I first met him when he was playing for Frisco and I was doing some of their games when they'd be on the TV side, I remember having that conversation. And I didn't remember it until hearing it that I had this exact same thing. I had asked, bears?
Yeah.
I think I walked away from that not totally sure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it got clarified. But you know, it's funny you're asking about Grizzlies and he's like, no. Like,
yeah. Matter of fact, yeah.
But it was really good to see him, you know, hit the home run and get a couple hits and do it in the field as well. And you know, he's someone definitely. We're not in 2021 mode where it's like every conversation we have is looking through the lens of the future. You know, this is a team. I mean, heck, we're talking about them getting to and over 500, but there still is a little bit of, hey, you know, what are we learning about the future? Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran, and Leody Taveras is a part of that. And I really do. I still believe that this guy could potentially be cemented into a spot for years to come if he can just show the ability to be consistent offensively.
Hey, do you have a few more minutes here?
Sure.
Okay, because Lucius Alexander, programming note, just let me know. We don't have any spots to play until 5:15. So I'm playing around with the idea in my head right now of going commercial free for the next hour. Brian, are you in?
I'm in.
He's in. Lucius, are you in? Are you in commercial free for the next hour? Yeah, let's do this. Okay. So Jared, I don't think we need you for the full hour, but if you could help us clean up, you know, some of this more Rangers news here on the tail of a 2-1 loss, that'd be outstanding. Do you think Taveras can be an elite outfielder? Have we seen the last of Eli White out there?
So defensively, yes, and I'll go back to, you know, what we talked about yesterday. I don't think I used the Byron Buxton comp, and for people who didn't hear that, I was not comparing Leody's offensive ceiling to what we're seeing from Byron Buxton, but I was saying that, you know, that's a guy who it took him parts of four seasons.
Maybe the path he can go. Yeah.
So, you know, let's say that, you know, this is not necessarily the year where it's like, well, if he doesn't do it this year, then he's not going to do it. Now, the Rangers timeline might be different than Leody's timeline, right? And sometimes that happens where you got to make a decision as an organization, and you know, maybe you got to move on before you'd like to, but you can't just keep rolling the dice. But yeah, I think Leody is so good defensively that even if he is just an above average offensive player, and particularly now that we've got, you know, metrics to really measure these things, he is going to be valued very highly. The line for me is Leody going to grow enough to where he can be a top of the order hitter, or is he, you know, going to be a bottom of the order hitter? And again, major defense, and he hits seventh, and he, you know, posts a 730 OPS. That's a guy that's going to help you win games, but I think there is still the possibility that you get that defense, and instead of a 730 OPS, you're talking about a guy, a switch hitter, who can give you, say, an 830 OPS. And it's just a matter of whether or not, you know, the plate discipline and some of the mechanical adjustments I know he talked to you guys about yesterday, if that can really translate into more consistency. So far, I think we're seeing it.
Let me ask the truckwreck.com fan text this. You know, with them playing better, with them, you know, having guys like Tavares and Garcia now, you know, stepping up, and you know Semien and Seager are going to come around, aren't you starting to get excited about the potential? Now, let me ask Jared this as you answer that question on the truckwreck.com fan text. If the Rangers did want to get really involved in the deadline, let's say Chris Young, who's a new executive, is telling the ownership, listen, you haven't given me a chance to really finish off building a baseball team. I need X amount of players to really make a push in these final 3 months, become a playoff team, and start becoming a winner again right here in Arlington. How many players would Chris Young have to say that he needs, Jared?
Okay, in a hypothetical world where they're going to try and really make a push, and the disclaimer is, you know, they're not going to give up future assets for rentals, but in a hypothetical world, you would probably need, you definitely need another starter. Doesn't necessarily have to be a guy we view as an ace, but someone who you look at and comfortably say, this is a guy who starts in a playoff game. You know, he'd be a part of a playoff rotation. You would need, another bat. You know, depending on what you're seeing from Seager and Semien might, dictate the strength of that bat. And then, you know, I think with any team that's pushing for the playoffs, you fill in some holes, maybe get another reliever that can fill a particular role or a need, whatever that might be. You know, right now it seems like, you know, they have decent depth on the bench and can match up, and maybe you want to upgrade for a particular matchup. So, you know, for them to really make a push to not just make the playoffs but be a legitimate contender, you'd have to do some work. But the thing is,
that's three guys. We can do that, right?
Yeah. Now, those three guys are probably going to cost you a lot of assets. If you can find those three guys and they're under control for the next, you know, few years, then maybe the Rangers would be interested. But, you know, that's going to be the big thing. The Rangers, no matter their record, there are two things that are, I don't know if non-negotiable is the right word, but two things that will not change. No matter their record, the Rangers will be interested in buying premier players who have more than 2 years of control, because, you know, they have the depth, they're in a position to do that. And no matter their record, under no circumstance are they going to give up, you know, legitimate assets for a rental. They're just not, and probably not even for a guy with this year and next year in control, because it's all about looking towards the future, and everything else outside of that, I think they'd consider. And some of that is going to be then dictated by the record. Are they going to look to sell some of their veteran relievers, or are they going to look to add? You know, if they're competing, Matt Moore is going to be here. If, you know, in a month from now they're not, Matt Moore might be moved because, hey, he's having an awesome year. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and what can you get back for him? But, you know, maybe there is that Cole Hamels type deal from 2015 where, you know, we talk about it a lot, and this is going to be, you know, something we talk about a ton over the next month. When they acquired Cole Hamels, they were not over 500. And there was thought internally that they could make a playoff push, and sure enough, they did. They ended up winning the division, and they just, you know, they really took off. But that move was made. They gave up five guys who were considered pretty impressive prospects at the time without the expectation of, if we don't make the playoffs, it's a failure. Because Cole Hamels was under control for 3 years beyond that, and that was the purpose of the move. If they can find someone like that, then I think that's a deal they could jump on.
Is the fact that you're wanting to add a pitcher have to do with the fact that what's going on in the minor leagues right now?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I think any team that's pushing for the playoffs, chances are they don't have a perfect rotation, and so they usually, you know, are going to be aggressive. But yeah, I think specific to the Rangers' position, the fact that some of the minor league options who they hoped would have been maybe more appealing options at this time just haven't had the type of years to be as appealing as you'd like.
Quick game today, Jared. Enjoy your afternoon and your day off tomorrow. And then they'll be back after an early game on Friday against the Mets, right? Okay. Thank you so much, Jared. Have a good afternoon.
Yep.
There he goes. He's a must-follow on Twitter for Rangers fans, at Jared Sandler. So there you have it. And again, we're going, I think, commercial-free all the way until 5:15. I'm not exactly sure, you know, if I have the bladder. I have been into the Diet Cokes pretty good already.
Already?
I don't know if I have the bladder stamina, but I'm gonna make the most of it. I'm going to make my best effort here. As we'll officially get the G-Bag Nation going here for you on a Wednesday on 105.3 The Fan. We are 24 hours and 38 minutes now from the start of NBA free agency, and there have already been a couple of big stories around basketball today that we can talk about. But yeah, the biggest story in DFW sports is really around the Mavericks. And Brian, I know you've been talking with your sources over there quite a bit. Do you think we're going to get something tomorrow? Is there going to be a story? Are we getting rumblings that would indicate they're going to make some sort of a splash or a secondary type of move on opening day of free agency?
Haven't got anybody to tell me that's the direction that they're going to go. I think what they're in right now is kind of an evaluation mode and seeing what's going to happen and kind of take this all in. But yeah, I know a lot of reports about with Brunson and all that. And so, yeah, you know, that's just something, you know, wait and see what happens. They have an idea. But, you know, like we've talked about, you know, maybe that plan is that mid-level exception, you know, with Hardaway. We talked about, you know, even the Knicks were going to have to, like, they were going to have to clear some more space. A couple names we gave you, they ended up clearing those off to Detroit. So, yeah, I think the Mavs are in that mode right now where they're just making some evaluations and then kind of see which way this thing goes.
Do you get the feeling from talking with them that the 4 years and $110 million for Brunson is as good as done?
They're getting to that point where they do believe that, yes. Mm. You know, and that's, you know, where I, you know, when you reach out to them, you know, this was something when, well before this even happened, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, if you lose him and you don't, you know, how do you recoup or what do you do if you don't get anything back? And, you know, I think they've gone through all the scenarios, you know, of what, you know, how this can play out. And I felt like all along and just talking to some people over there that they had a number, you know. Yeah. I can't get what that number is, but they had a number in mind, and, you know, they weren't really going to come off that number. And so that's, you know, that's where we're at right now.
I tweeted about it earlier. That, to me, that's Shark Tank Mark. You know, oh, this is my number. If you don't like it, you can't talk to anybody else. Oh, you know, you didn't want my number. Sorry. Yeah. You know, I hope they have a plan. I hope they have a plan to bounce back from losing their second best player.
Yeah, I feel like they do have a plan. Again, it might not be the best plan right now, but let's see what they do with the mid-level exception and stuff like that. Let's see. Maybe there's somebody out there, I mean, that we're not thinking about. You know, they've got their eye on that they can make. I trust what's going on with Nico. I trust what's going on with Kidd. I think Cuban stepped back. I really do about you know the operations side of it, letting those guys do their jobs.
Taking some good strides.
Well, they're trying, and like I said, the next thing is to try and figure out who's out there. You know, the next thing is to try and figure out, well, okay, what $6 to $8 million player are you looking at right now? Yeah. You know, to make that difference.
And when you're looking at that value of player, it's not a guarantee that that guy is going to be good for what you're trying to do. You know, the Mavericks tried a couple of different players before they ended up with Reggie Bullock in that same sort of price area, Josh Richardson being one of them, that just didn't work out. So, you know, it's possible. It's just, it's risky. you know. And there are trades, you know, they could move Dwight Powell, whose contract is going to be expiring. They could find somebody who really needs shooting that has an excess point guard that might be willing to send him to you for Davis Bertans. And I do think the Mavericks front office, Nico Harrison and his staff, Jason Kidd, I think these guys have great ideas. But right now what we're talking about is coming into Mark Cuban's call, which is, do you want to spend luxury tax money, which is significant now, well, you know, and that's just his call, whether he wants to pay actual cash and not salary cap space.
No, you know, and there was that time after the Western Conference Finals where Mark Stein interviewed him and he said, we can offer more money.
Yeah,
we can offer more money. And that was their battle cry. You know, we can offer more money. Why would a player want to? This is one of those situations where, you know, where blood is thicker than water right now. You know, I mean, the you know, he could go to New York and he could explode and be an outstanding player. You know, they're talking about him, and I'm starting to see stories about him and next level. Now that he's going to play all the time and, you know, be in this market and all. And this one, in any other situation, you're probably going to have a player sign the longer term deal,
mm-hmm.
take the money.
Yeah.
But this is blood is thicker than water in my mind, because, you know, the Mavericks thought, well, yeah, we could just pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And we could pay him. And then the Knicks just said, no, we could pay him. And then we're also going to hire his dad. And we're also, you know, they did all these things in order to try and make this work.
Yeah, his dad also said in that Tim McMahon piece that, you know, it was kind of a highest bidder thing. It's just business. And he said, I'm telling my people in New York, listen, just because we have a relationship doesn't mean I'm bringing Jalen to you. You got to offer the most amount of money. Yeah. And Mark had those quotes, and Nico had those quotes. And somewhere in the last month, it's like the insider's words started changing from, oh, yeah, they love him, they'll do whatever it takes to have more money, to the holes in his game make them feel like they can move on and be better off. And I just hope they're backing off because they truly believe that there is going to be an advantage long term in moving away from Brunson. And we don't know what the plan is now, but we don't want a point guard who needs the ball in his hands to be maximum value to have that many holes in his game. And I could respect that. What I couldn't respect is if it's Mark Cuban just wanting to stand on principle because he gave the young man his value and it turned out the value was twice as much, and Mark doesn't want the egg on his face. He wants to say, no, I said what the value is and we're not going that far over it. Or he's worried about the luxury tax. Because if it's ego or luxury tax, then I don't think Mark Cuban's committed to winning.
Yeah, but like I said, he made the comment that we could pay him more.
And they still can.
Yeah.
They can go over 4-1-10 quite easily.
And that's, you know, but that, again, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, we could pay him more. And that, you know, evidently that was the thought he had. He, you know, he thought that, hey, you know, I could pay this guy more, you know, but pay
and
him
that,
more.
That statement is still true, though.
Yeah, but it's also, I could pay him more, but I could pay him this amount, not pay him over what I want to pay.
He wasn't thinking it would get to 25 or 27 and a half
and
when he said that.
When he made the comment, though, Brunson's dad wasn't part of the Knicks staff.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I just think this is one of those things where.
Your belief. That's not a report. That's not been said. You know, that's just your feeling. That's not a fact. You know, there's a difference in those two things.
Yeah, but I'm that's the feeling I have.
Yeah. Mark Cuban is Jerry.
I'd say my feeling's pretty educated at times.
Okay.
I would say that.
It is. It is quite often. Yeah. So are you saying that's what the Mavericks believe? Because if you're telling me this is not an opinion, but this is something you're reporting, that the Mavs believe he's just going to the Knicks because he wants to go there because his daddy's there.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. DeJounte Murray to the Hawks says the truckwreck.com fan text for Gallinari and some picks. And that is a trade that's coming together. New York was working on him quite a bit as well. 214, the cap increase is 15 to 20 next year, right? Ship off DP and you're set to spend on Gorn plus somebody else. Yeah, the cap continues to go up. It's at like $120 million now. And the luxury tax threshold is sitting at $150 million. So 27 and a half you can do five of those contracts. You know, we used to talk about guys getting overpaid when they were taking up more than 35% of the cap dollars. Like, oh my goodness, look at what Chris Bosh or Kevin Love got to be a third wheel. This is down at like 21% of the cap dollars. And I think while the number has grown so much, and we might not be prepared to think of non-All-Stars getting $25 million, the max is now 50. That's what Damian Lillard is getting. That's what, you know, James Harden and Bradley Beal are actually opting out of this afternoon. But I don't think 4 and 27.5 should necessarily take you out of the bidding. But, you know, you do have to consider what Brian's saying. Not only is he a Cowboy insider, but now he's a Mavs insider.
I'm just trying to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been very fortunate to get some very good answers back about this.
Yeah. So do you think Jalen Brunson would go to the Knicks for $27.5 million instead of the Mavs for $30 million? Is it that much that he wanted to go play with his dad?
I can't answer that part of it.
Yeah.
But clearly he wants to go to the Knicks.
Sure.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your fifth year. You know, he doesn't care about that. It's very evident.
Well, that's pretty impressive. You know, if you feel like you can go lead the Knicks, it is kind of disappointing if the guy doesn't like the Mavericks. I do believe all things being equal, he would choose the Knicks, but
he'd go run his own show there,
yeah,
right? He could be the guy. He could be the guy that, you know, if he's the guy, in fact, that leads the Knicks back to prominence. You know, maybe that's something that's maybe it's something that's important to him.
Well, they need real point guards now, and Luka can't be in all the time. We saw last year in the playoffs, even when Brunson was available and on the court with him, he was tiring out. It was like, oh, well, you know, Luka can't play that good a defense because he's having to initiate every time down court. And now you're taking away your second best creator. Again, you better have one hell of a plan, and it will all start to unfold tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. We'll be all over it for you right here on DFW's Sports Station. The other big story, training camp countdown continues. We're 28 days away, and we're going to be talking about it every day here on your home of the Cowboys. How good do you think they're going to be, Brian? At 6:20, I have some roster rankings that were put together from scores on Pro Football Focus. Not the most accurate website for all things, but it's the best we got right now.
Mike McCarthy and them swear by it, though, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, okay.
So if they're going to endorse it, then, you know, we'll say that if they're endorsing it, then they probably like where they got the Cowboys ranked.
We'll give you all their reasoning and thoughts on it coming up at 6:20 in the Cowboys News of the Evening, but I'm just going to tell you right now, they have them dead in the middle at 16th. Are you ready to hear that, Cowboys fans? I think it's pretty accurate. I might have put them a little bit higher, but you can't seriously think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, do you? Like a playoff team out in the wild card, that's what they're heading for as long as they don't get too hurt. And I don't know. You know, I don't know how many Cowboys fans are prepared for that, but you look at how last year's second half went and the names that left, and I would say the feeling in my gut is around average in the NFL this year, Brian. How about you?
I kind of feel like that they're going to have to fight to win this division, you know? And if you're going to have to fight to win this division, maybe you get fortunate. Maybe you're like the 49ers. Maybe you find a way to put some things together. Maybe find a way to run the ball, be effective on offense, not make mistakes, create turnovers, play better defense. I think their defense is going to be better. I my questions are about the offense. Until they show me exactly who the wide receivers are going to be, you know, and they tell me exactly what the starting five is going to be on the offensive line,
yeah,
I'm going to have my questions because, you know, it's going to come down to, again, Kellen Moore and his ability to incorporate everything, make it all work. You know, if he can't get that done, Mike McCarthy's going to have to step in. And then is it all like, well, Mike wants to do it this way or that way. And then, you know, they're kind of riding a different horse in the stream, you know, kind of thing. So I have my best thoughts right now for the Cowboys, 10 wins, 9 wins, fighting for the division title is how I kind of feel. Like, I think this division's going to be a lot better. I don't think it's going to be a walkover for anybody. I think it's going to come down to probably the last couple of weeks. You know, can you find a way to win a game you're not supposed to? Can you find a way to beat a Green Bay? Can you beat a Cincinnati? Can you beat a Rams? Can you beat somebody like that? Can you beat Tampa opening game? You know, if they go down 0-2, there are going to be a lot of questions going on around here.
Oh, right, absolutely. Now. Yeah, I think you're right on it as far as how good this team is going to be. And I'm starting to look at the last 8 years, other than maybe the 2014 and 16 seasons, as maybe they haven't been that good. but they've played in such a crap division that they were able to win the division basically every other year and then keep getting whacked in the wild card or division round. And it was kind of shielding us from their lack of quality. And now that the division is starting to get better, I think they're going to go 4-2 in division this year, which takes them from being like an 11-12 win season and being one of the pretenders in the Super Bowl discussion to a, you know, just another a playoff team. I guess that is the way I'm looking at it. You talked about the defensive line though, Brian, and just to give you a teaser for the full thing, we'll do at 6:20. Pro Football Focus and ESPN Insider was doing the actual study based off their numbers. You know, was talking about the defensive line and their run problems. They were 30th in run stop efficiency last year. Just atrocious.
Right.
It all would change if Ridgeway can be that guy and if Osa Odighizuwa can be that guy, right? And Leighton Vander Esch takes another step.
Yeah.
So it's not unthinkable that they couldn't be better, but you're talking about some serious developments in the middle of your defense all needing to happen at the same time.
Yeah, maybe Micah Parsons needs to be a little bit better playing the run too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, his focus was about playing some on the edge. You know, that was the focus, you know, of him, you know, stepping in and having, if you take him out of that spot where he could be near the ball or, you know, at the position to stop the run, you know, because he's having to play another position. Yeah, it's going to be on those other guys. But I have a feeling that they will find a way to play the run better. I think Armstrong plays the run better than what Randy Gregory did. And you didn't have Tank Lawrence for a long stretch of the season last year. Hurt in week two, didn't come back until you know, later. So I'm going to say that the run defense will be better because of what's going on the edges. I think the linebacker situation we'll see with Vander Esch. I thought there were the games that where they struggled a little bit. You know, there were a couple of games they lost, but he had double digit tackles. You know, so I think that's kind of a sneaky re-signing. We'll see what happens with Kurse playing down. Guy doesn't miss any tackles. They've just got to find a way kind of get things squared up a little bit. I think they're going to be better on the edges, and I think they're going to be better a little bit more inside at the defensive tackle spot, but it's going to be about those linebackers, and it's going to be about that down safety not missing any tackles, which he doesn't do.
That's exciting, and you're right about Dorrance Armstrong because he put on some serious weight in that last year.
He did.
He was eating ham sandwiches and pancakes.
Randy is a liability against the run to his side. He just is. He wants to get upfield. He gets washed. He gets pushed. You know, those are the kinds of things. I think you have a little bit more stouter player in him. I'm talking about Armstrong and then also with Sam Williams over there. I think Sam does a great job of knowing where he needs to be, holding on, anchoring down things over there. That's what his old Miss tape showed.
8-1-7, Cowboys were second best in the division last year, got two teams in the playoffs. Sorry, fellas, but we all know this is about to get ugly, says the 973. The next 3 years will have some big changes all around due to the product they're about to put out. You know.
Could fire the head coach.
Yeah, but I think it could get exciting.
Or if you know, after next year, if in fact that they get a new head coach and Dak Prescott doesn't play better.
Yeah.
Then that could be a big change there.
No, it could look a lot different. I'm not giving up on them. I don't think the next 3 years is going to be ugly. I think this is just their version of a rebuilding year.
Sure.
They never go all in, but they never go all out. They just took three guys away, and they're waiting to let some of their young players develop and hope to hit on a couple of more drafts. And in the NFL, as long as you've drafted fairly well recently, which the Cowboys have, I mean, they got some really good players over the last three drafts, then you're really only one more draft and a free agency with some money to spend away from being a real serious contender. The best teams in the NFL only have 10 or 11 really good players, and the Cowboys are definitely within striking distance of rebuilding that, especially if they're going to free up some money. I mean, they're sitting on 22 right now. They don't want to spend it. They're carrying that over into the future. You know they have a plan to get aggressive with spending some of this cash.
It might mean to go out and get a wide receiver. When they evaluate that first week of camp, when we're out there, we're watching that. If you start to see things really kind of falling apart at wide receiver and it doesn't look like it's coming together, I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and tried to make a move.
All right, we are the G-Back Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We're in the midst of like an hour and 10 minutes of uninterrupted content. We came on after Rangers postgame at 4:05. At about 4:15, Lucius informed me we don't have any spots to run. Okay, so I finally got my wish. It's pure soccer format, commercial free, and this is going to run all the way till 5:15, and check it out. At 5:20, the damn expressway starts, which is another 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content. So out of an hour and 45 minutes today, in an hour and 45-minute period, you're going to get 5 minutes of commercials. That's fun. That's a record. I've never done this, Lucius. I've never done this.
Neither have I.
Is there any chance we're going to get in trouble doing this, right? No trouble at all,
we'll
right?
We'll be okay.
We'll be fine? Okay.
Yeah, I got the chair against the Pimp Cup door. So they can't get inside the Pimp Cup.
We got your back. We can see behind you there.
Because you know those salespeople are like, what? They don't have any commercials?
Yeah.
Let me get something booked here real quick.
I'm going to call down to the trafficking department.
What do you think about these two topics so far, Lucius? Are the Cowboys going to be average? And are the Mavs making a mistake?
I don't think the Mavs are making a mistake when it comes to Brunson. Because, I mean, he wants that type of money, right? Mm-hmm. New York is gassing him.
Okay.
Putting a battery on his back. Mm-hmm. So, basically setting him up for a failure. If he does not hit where New York saying he can be.
Yeah.
Boy, the New York fans are going to turn him quick.
This is youth sports recruiting tactics. You don't want to be on on this team. You can be a superstar over here. We're going to get your boy a scholarship.
It's going to turn on him quick, but yeah.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah, I think the Mavs are kind of avoiding disaster. I hope they build now.
Huh. Yes.
Then I'm going to say you took that L too.
Yeah.
You just kind of moved it away from you a little bit, but you still got the L.
Yeah, they better come back with some sort of a return here.
And the Cowboys are going to remain average, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Remain average.
It's probably the most predictable thing in DFW sports right now. Even when they look good, they're still kind of average.
Oh, my gosh.
Tennis news. The lady who beat Serena Williams yesterday is the subject of scorn today across the tennis world.
Yeah.
Not only for beating Serena. Did you see what she did? How bad of a move is this? On the heels of her impressive draw.
Did she dump somebody?
Harmony Tan.
I'm coming up.
Followed up by withdrawing from her doubles match.
There you go.
An hour before it was set to begin. Her partner, Tamara, says she just texted me this morning. Let me wait here 1 hour before the match start. I'm very sad, disappointed, and angry that I can't play my first doubles Grand Slam, and it's really not fair for me. Yeah, I think if you're Harmony, it's your big moment. You had to go 3 hours against Serena Williams. You got to have some self-awareness and say, I'm not winning round two. Okay, I'm on top right now because I beat a legend. That doesn't give me the right to go ahead and just do my doubles partner wrong like this. You go out there, and even if you give a half effort, this is her first Grand Slam.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a veteran, you call her up and you say, hey, Tamara, I'm sorry. I don't have it in me today. You know, we'll get him next time. Maybe call Jenny. I heard she was looking for a doubles partner. You can have her spot, you know. But I don't think you can do that if she's never played in a Grand Slam event, Brian.
Yeah, I think that's, Tam, she was probably thinking that she wasn't going to win. You know, she's probably thinking like, you know what,
yeah.
Serena Williams does not lose first round matches. And so she was probably thinking, well, I'll just get beaten and I'll play this doubles and we'll see how it goes from there. So, yeah, I think, you know, her priorities probably change. But just watching her play tennis yesterday for three hours and 10 minutes, her next opponent is going to maul her.
Yeah, she's right. Not good.
No, she's not.
So you ring her up the night before. I would say, what's the minimum amount of time for something like that? 10 hours?
No.
You got to give her a chance to call around.
If you are, I get it. There are things that you step back from and say, hey, I cannot do this. But you don't do that to your, partner. You know, you don't, I mean, she, I'm not going to act like that they're the best combo, the best doubles partners, you know, at Wimbledon. But you don't do that. Even if you played a tough match, you know, you got to go out there and, I mean, some of the greats.
If I book a venue, I have to give them a 24-hour to 48-hour heads up that I will be counseling, fam.
Yeah. Well, she did.
Keep that same energy.
She did her partner wrong there. Really, really wrong there.
Yeah. I think if I was Tamara, I'd have words with her next time I saw her.
Yeah.
Call her some names.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash in the shower, which gently cleanses and doesn't dry out your skin. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.